Good morning, everybody, and thank you for being here today with us in our first quarter fiscal year 2019 presentation. Before we move to the presentation, please have a look to our legal disclaimer in page number two. With that, I hand over the presentation to our CEO, Markus Stacke. Markus?
Thank you, Christina. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us as we present Siemens Gamesa's financial results of the first quarter of fiscal year 2019. Our results were solid, and I'm proud to share them with you. I'm also pleased to be joined today by our new CFO, David Mesonero. David will present in a full analysis of our financial results in just a few minutes. First, allow me to provide a short overview of where we stand. Siemens Gamesa has successfully navigated the challenging post-merger period, and we are now at the point where we can focus our attention on delivering results to our stakeholders. We generated solid financial results this past quarter, and we took important steps towards becoming more effective at delivering expected returns for our investors and best-in-class products and services to our customers. We have also taken important steps to ensure that we operate more effectively and efficiently with a strong focus on our business. For example, during the past months, we made some adjustments to our senior management team, including naming David Mesonero as our CFO and creating a new position of COO, Chief Operating Officer. This allows the COO as well as the CFO to focus on core tasks while increasing our efforts within the LEAD 2020 program. We successfully moved into the second phase of our LEAD 2020 program, our company-wide plan to make us the industry leader by year 2020. We have clear goals, and I'm confident that we are on track to achieve them. Let me turn to the highlights of the past quarter. We continue to see strong growth prospects for the global wind market in the years ahead. Especially in offshore, a sector in which we remain the strong market leader, we anticipate compound annual growth of more than 20% between now and 2025. This strong market outlook is supported by the ongoing growing support for renewable energy and wind power by regulatory bodies and political decision-makers worldwide. In order to capitalize on this growth, earlier this month, we launched an important new addition to our portfolio, a 10-megawatt offshore turbine. We are confident that this 10-megawatt direct drive turbine is exactly the right product to take advantage of the dynamic market for offshore wind, and we are launching it precisely at the right time. This new turbine combines state-of-the-art product design and installation experience with proven technology to assume lowest LCOE while providing reliability and bankability to project developers and our customers. Looking more closely to our financial results for the quarter. Our top line is supported by an order entry of 11.5 billion over the course of the last 12 months. Our order backlog now stands at 23 billion euros, up 8% year-over-year. This represents 92% revenue coverage for our 2019 fiscal year. We successfully returned to the revenue growth. Our quarter one revenue stood at 2.262 billion euros, up 6% year-over-year. Our EBIT margin for the quarter, pre-PPA and I&R cost, remained stable at 6.1%. The performance of our onshore business unit was weak, but this disappointing performance in onshore was partially compensated by strong performance, especially in offshore. Our net cash position of 165 million euros was driven by an increased working capital level in preparation for peak turbine delivery activities and was also impacted by reduction of trade payables. Another important development was the continued stabilization of ASP in the market. We were among the first to be vocal about a step change in pricing, driven by the introduction of auction schemes in many parts of the world. Now we are seeing ASP developing in a more normal way, as we have anticipated earlier. David, could I now ask you to take over and present a more in-depth look at our financial results for the quarter?
Thank you very much, Markus, and thanks everybody who is with us today, listening to our first quarter 2019 results presentation. This is my first results presentation since I took the position of CFO at the beginning of December, and I am looking forward to meeting and working together with all of you in the coming months. Now, let's move to page number 6, as we have no time to lose. As Markus has pointed in his highlight section, Siemens Gamesa has delivered a solid commercial performance for a number of quarters now, Q1 19 include. We have indeed ended the quarter with 23 billion euros in order backlog. This means up 8% year on year. 46% of the order backlog is in service, nearly 11 billion, up 5% year on year, higher margin, faster cash conversion, and longer contract duration. 28% or 6.5 billion euros are in offshore. Again, very attractive. The decline in the order backlog is the result of a combination of very strong project execution in the quarter, more than 600 megawatts equivalent, with the standard volatility of the order intake. We will talk about this later in page number 10. So practically 75% of our backlog is in offshore and service, 26% in onshore or nearly 6 billion euros, up 50% year on year. Very strong recovery since we merged. The onshore market is still in transition, but is stabilizing progressively. So margin in our onshore backlog are still under pressure. So moving to page number 7, thanks to the strong commercial activity, we already have practically covered the low end of our revenue guidance range. This means 96% coverage, or 92% in the midpoint. This is a comparison versus 80% of Q4 at the end of the last year. That means that we feel comfortable with our top line prospects and also about our growth potential beyond 19, with nearly 16 billion euros in backlog to be executed beyond 19. Moving to page number 8, 11.5 billion euros in orders signed in the last 12 months, 1.2 times group revenue and 3% up year on year. 2.5 billion euros in firm orders signed in Q1 19, driven by a good performance in onshore with 1.8 billion euros in firm orders, up 7% year on year. No change in our overall order intake expectations for the year after Q1 19. In offshore, we need to think on long-term basis, meaning projects are larger and investment decisions take longer than in onshore. And therefore, we are used to see quarterly volatility in our order intake, and in service, we expect to gain the ground lost in the coming quarters. Moving to page number 9, since the merger, we have been saying that the introduction of auctions means the transition into a more efficient, sustainable, and reliable energy market. This has a very positive implication from a volume perspective, but at the same time, this also brings significant pressures on onshore pricing and hence on the wind turbine segment margins. So volume-wise, we can see some of the benefits of this transition in this slide. 9.1 gigawatts in onshore order intake signed in the last 12 months, up 37% year-on-year, and 2.4 gigawatts signed in the last quarter, 7% up year-on-year. Also, a very diversified order intake with orders signed in 27 markets in the last 12 months. When we look to the last 12 months, we see very strong contribution from the US, India, Spain, Brazil, but also Norway and Sweden. We have entered into Russia, where we have signed close to 300 megawatts with Enel. And also with Enel, we signed in Q1 19 our first order for the Siemens Gamesa 4.5 megawatts for the two wind farms in Mexico, La Amistad 3 and 4. 270 megawatts in total. Also important, our performance in Spain, where we have signed 1.4 gigawatts in the market open with the auctions in 16 and 17. Now looking more specifically into Q1 19, again, India, Spain, US, Mexico, Morocco, Brazil, and Russia are main contributors. Again, we see a very diversified order intake in the quarter. And we are especially proud of our performance in India. Since the India market reactivated in 18, we have captured 2 gigawatts in firm orders there. So we are maintaining our leading position in our traditional core markets, and we are working hard to open new ones. Now, if we look into the second pillar of this transition, the pricing, we can see both in the bottom charts that after the step decline that came together with the introduction of auctions at the end of 16 and 17, price stabilization is now clear. If we focus on the left-hand side chart and we compare it with the one we showed in Q4 18 presentation in the page 9, where we had the last 12 months average ASP ending 18, 17, and 16, we could see a 10% decline, a 9% decline year on year. Now, when we roll that over 3 months forward, we can see the ASP decline has moved to minus 8 and minus 5, an improvement and well into the minus 3 and minus 5 band that we call price stabilization. Moving to the ASP, you see an upward trend, but this is important as we always say that it is not pricing. This is a mix of pricing, scope, product mix, country mix, FX, etc. The underlying pricing trend is still declining, but within what we call stabilization range minus 3 to minus 5. Moving to page number 10, here we can see a second volatile quarter regarding offshore order intake. Like our last quarter, we did sign contracts, some component contracts with no megawatts attached. In addition, the CMA project in Belgium will enter into our order intake in Q2 19, 487 megawatts or 58 units of our Siemens Gamesa 8 megawatt 167 direct drive, the best offshore turbine in 18 according to Wind Power Movie. As said, when we discussing slide 8, we need to look to the offshore market on the longer-term basis, as investment decisions are much bigger and take longer. We can see clear growth prospects in the market, and we feel confident about our offshore position. And I am sure that we will get questions about our developments in Taiwan later. No much to say here yet. We are following the events closely, discussing with our clients, but there is no new information right now. Very important to us, as Markus has explained, that we have the new Siemens Gamesa 10 megawatt platform, introduced in the market last week and announced in London. It will keep us in the lead of the offshore segment with more than 30% AEP than its predecessor. Moving to page number 12, of course, we don't need to go figure by figure here. Revenue growth has returned 6% year-on-year to 2.3. In Q1 19, this growth has been clearly driven by a high level of offshore execution and also high level of service growth. Group growth will accelerate in the coming quarters as onshore activity picks up in line with the planned project execution schedule. EBIT margin pre-PPA and IR cost is flat year-on-year at 6%. Here, pricing in our order backlog continues to be the main drag in the evolution of the group profitability. We see that gross margins are stable year-on-year, and this is the result of the benefit of the transformation exercise helping compensate partially larger pricing pressure this year. In terms of group profitability, we have to say that onshore performance weakness was compensated by offshore strength, as our CEO has pointed out. Net cash position of €165 million, driven by the increase in working capital ahead of the peak activity levels that we expect for this year, but also impacted by a reduction of trade payables to more normalized levels. And we will discuss this in more detail in later pages. Moving to slide number 13, we can see the drivers of revenue growth in Q1 19, offshore and service. Several things we should discuss in this slide. First, onshore revenue performance is fully driven by the planned project execution schedule, which is a back-end loaded one. Second, offshore. Very strong performance, partially in line with a strong level of activity plan for the year, but also driven by strong performance in project execution this quarter. So please, do not extrapolate this growth to the coming quarters. We expect growth in offshore in 19. Good growth, but not 25% growth. Third, service. Also very good growth, impacted by value-added solutions. As we have said before, spare parts and value-added solutions especially are somehow more volatile than revenue coming from maintenance contracts. And in Q1, we had a big impact from value-added solutions as we completed the repowering of NextEra in the U.S. So if we exclude the impact of this value-added service, revenue growth was 10% driven by maintenance contracts. Again, please do not extrapolate the 25% revenue growth this quarter to the overall year. Moving to page number 14, a bit more on revenue drivers here, onshore volume. As said, nothing to be concerned. We have back-end loaded plan activity in onshore. Also, Q1 last year was a bit special. Very high activity sales in India, as feed-in tariff projects in Gujarat were reactivated at the end of December. When you look at the overall sales in India, fiscal year 18, 41% were in Q1, which is not a normal pattern. US and Spain are the main contributors to onshore sales volume in the quarter, with 27 and 20 respectively. India and Mexico are the one that showed the largest activity decline, but both driven by a different timing of project execution. Also important to highlight here, for those that will calculate later the ASP of the onshore part, you will see that this is practically flat year on year. And as we also discussed, you have to take into account different levels of installation activity. Moving to page 15, flat EBIT margin pre-PPA and IR cost at group level. This year, we expect to see a similar EBIT trend to the one we saw last year, with a weaker first half and a much more stronger second half. Very important to remember when you are forecasting 19 that what you see in a slide as Q2 margins in 18 had some one-off positive impacts that we do not expect to be repeated. Inventory impairment reversal in wind turbines and embedded FX derivative in service. By division, very strong performance in service and weak performance in the segments of wind turbines. As we will see in the next page, onshore pricing in our backlog remains the main drag in profitability, and that is what we are seeing here in the wind turbine divisions. Low sales activity in onshore have reduced the positive impact from the very high activity levels in offshore. Moving to page 16, the group EBIT bridge, it is very clear that pricing is the main drag in the group EBIT pre-PPA and IR cost evolution. And the transformation program within the LEAD 2020 company program helps to compensate most of it, but not all. As we move towards the second half, the pricing bar should be shorter, and the benefits from the transformation program should continue. And that is what gives us confidence in the second half of 19, especially in 2020. Beyond pricing and the transformation program, a positive impact from higher activity levels in offshore and service that were partially compensated by low activity in onshore. Moving to page 17, talking about the balance sheet, the net cash position of 165 million euros, down 176 year-on-year and 450 million euros in the quarter, driven by increase in working capital, needed to accommodate the peak activity levels that we expect in the rest of the year, but also the back-end loaded project execution planning and also the reduction in payables as we will see in page 18. As we communicated, we have also signed a 900 million euros green guarantee line, proof of our commitment to sustainability. Moving to
participant lines are now unmuted.
You can see the working capital evolution over last year.
Participants are now muted.
Of minus 27 million euros at the end of Q1 19, up 515 million euros from the end of the last year and 130 million euros year on year. Driven by peak activity levels expected for the year, we expect more than 15% revenue growth and better execution planning with higher activities in H2 19. Working capital was also impacted by a planned reduction of trade payables from last year. We continue to work on improving our working capital levels, and we expect a similar pattern as last year with the main improvement in Q4. Of course, the COO will help all of us in this task. Moving to page 19, very important to us, a rigorous control over planned and actual CAPEX spending, what we call a smart CAPEX. On one hand, further wind LCOE reduction depend on new, more productive products that require R&D investments. In fiscal year 18, total cash R&D expenditure amounted to 280 million euros, of which 150 was spent through P&L, and 130 was capitalized, so a bit less capitalization than what we said when we merged, 50-50. In Q1 19, total R&D expenditure amounted to 66 million euros, of which 31 was capitalized. In addition to the need for continuous R&D investment, we need to invest also in new products, capacity, and in new markets that demand local content. And it is very important that the investment decisions are carefully considered. It is important to form partnerships in the supply chain, what we call product affordability, and that is what we are doing in Russia and Taiwan. And also it is important to invest where manufacturing costs are lower. Finally, moving to page number 20, here we can see the evolution of the net cash position in the quarter. Generating cash is our priority. Now, what we see here is the net cash position impacted by working capital investment required to deliver all the activity plan for the year, given a higher concentration of project execution in H2 as anticipated, tax payments, and €29 million in uses of provisions in Adwen. As I say in slide 18, we should see a reversion of what we see here by the end of the year, and we remain fully committed to generate positive cash flow every year of our 18-20 strategic plan. And with this, I hand over to our CEO, Markus Tacke. Thank you.
Thank you, David. I'd like to offer you final concluding comments and have a look at our outlook for the future. Let me first come back to the Siemens Gamesa 10 megawatt 193 offshore turbine, our new 10 megawatt offshore turbine that I briefly highlighted earlier. Just a few weeks ago, we announced this important addition to our product portfolio. This is an exceptional product designed for all wind conditions. It offers high energy yield and unmatched reliability, once again deploying our proven tested direct drive technology. The Siemens Gamesa 1093 generates 30% more AAP than its predecessor. We have worked hard to develop and refine our platform. 3 years from now, when serial production of this new product begins in 2022, we will have more than 1,000 turbines of this platform in the water. We are confident that this new 10 megawatt turbine will further bolster our position as the clear market leader in offshore. Looking ahead, we believe that strong growth in wind markets worldwide will continue. China will remain a strong market, but even one excluding China, we see growth continuing at approximately 5% annually between now and 2025 in onshore and offshore. We also anticipate exceptionally strong growth in emerging markets, approximately 11% annually between now and 2025. And in offshore, a highly specialized industry in which we remain the leader, we expect particularly robust growth. Measured in market installations, we see growth well above 20% annually between now and 2025. This growth will be largely driven by new offshore markets, including Taiwan and especially promising the U.S. We are determined not only to be part of this growth, but to help drive and lead it. Let me now briefly turn once again to our fiscal year 19 guidance, which we confirm. Taking in account project execution timing in onshore, but also offshore, our results this past quarter support our revenue and EBIT guidance for the year. As mentioned earlier, our order backlog has already enabled us to achieve 92% revenue coverage for the fiscal year, as explained by David. Additional synergies of 1.2% of revenues by the end of fiscal year 2019 are included in our margin expectations. The impact of PPA amortization of intangible fair value is estimated at €250 million. The impact of integration and restructuring cost is estimated at €130 million. So let me recap the highlights from the past quarter. We see strong growth prospects in the global wind market, particularly offshore, and we have taken bold steps to be part of it and help lead it, this growth. One example, we have launched our 10 megawatt offshore turbine, a product perfectly suited to today's market needs. Our financial results this past quarter were solid and in line with our guidance. The sound commercial activity supports growth in fiscal year 2019 and beyond. This past quarter, we have seen particularly encouraging growth in our order backlog and in our revenue. Execution timing should also be taken in consideration when comparing our results to our guidance. So finally, I'm confident that our solid commercial activity this past quarter supports growth in fiscal year 19 and beyond. And that is precisely our goal, growth. Our aim to be the industry leader can only be realized if we continue to grow. This demands that we continue to expand into new markets, as we did this past year with Taiwan, Russia, and Turkey. It demands we continue to demonstrate our proven technology leadership, as we have once again done with our 10-megawatt offshore platform just launched. and it demands that we continue to deliver strong performance in each of our three business units, onshore, offshore, and service, as well as focusing our innovation power on related renewable energy fields, including technologies like storage and hybrid projects. Our company, Siemens Gamesa, is uniquely positioned to deliver results like these. I'm looking forward to sharing more good news with you in the month ahead. Thank you very much for your attention. I'd like to open the floor now for questions. Christina, back to you.
Thank you, Markus. Thank you, David. And we can start taking the questions now.
Yes. Hi, good morning. It's Akash from JP Morgan. I have two questions, please. My first question is on order intake and particularly on the U.S. market. If I look at your order details, then it seems like you have got less than 300 megawatt orders in the U.S. So maybe if you can talk about what is going on there, given strong orders at your competitors. And then if you can also say how much of these orders are 60% PTC components orders. And then second question is on margins. You have talked about you expect a back-end loaded performance of this year. So maybe if you can say what should we expect for second quarter based on your current plan.
Thanks, Akash. Thanks for the question. Let me first comment on your question about order intake in the U.S. If you look back, we have signed 2.1 gigawatt in the U.S. Recently. So going forward, we have a good order backlog in the U.S. And we see also going forward for the next quarters order entry coming out of the U.S. One quarter is not decisive for the overall position for us in the U.S. market. With regard to the 60% PTC, there seems to be a discussion within the market if the financing cost out of 60 cent PTC is worthwhile or projects are developed without PTC. So we need to see how this is developing. So I see currently the market not so interested in 60% PTC. We need to see what others reveal, but it looks like the market will continue on a reasonable level going forward 2022. With regard to margin expectation, we have clearly laid out, we have a strong second half year as we had last year, and this gives us confidence that the guidance is well in place.
Thank you, Markus. We can take second question, please.
Thank you very much. Just as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad. The next question comes from the line of Supriya Subramanian from UBS London. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you for giving me the chance to ask a question. Just had two quick questions. One on pricing. Now, when you say that you still see the 3 to 5% pricing pressure, but the LTM average price has come to 5% from the 8% earlier. So if the average has come to 5%, do you think that the pricing is now moving closer to the lower half of this 3 to 5% pressure rather than the upper end as you had shared earlier?
Thank you for the question. Let me refer to what David Messineri has explained on page 9. We always have said there is a step change in the market. Mm-hmm. We are going through that step change, so it's flattening out. The impact of that, of course, the backlog out of that period is still to be executed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you then look at the ASP going forward, we see starting quarter 118 till quarter 119, more or less flat development of ASP, okay, which gives a solid ground going forward, which is then creating the backlog now to be executed in the second half of this year and also some of it in fiscal year 20. Mm-hmm. You need to differentiate the ASP from the actual price development in the market. There we have also always communicated a rise price 3 to 5%. With the development recently, we see us more at the lower part of that range, so a bit below 3% in quarter one than we have seen before. So also there, there is a normalization of the market.
Okay. Thank you. Second question on the U.S. market. One is, how do you see the market developing post-2020 once all the 100% PTC projects are done? And second question related to that, if a project was eligible for the 100% PTC and it slips the execution deadline, would that automatically become eligible for the 80 or 60% or none at all?
Looking at U.S., certainly we see 19 and especially 20 as peak year of installations. After that, with the 80% PTC, the market will go down. We see beyond 22 market levels 3.5 to 4 gigawatt on a yearly basis. It is to be seen if this is based on 60% PTC or other developments, but I'm quite confident that we see these levels in around that order of magnitude as a bottoming out after the PTC cycle and with growth after that.
Mm-hmm.
With regard to PTC projects that don't meet the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
The projects that don't need to meet the deadline for installation are not within the PTC anymore. So it is very clear.
Okay.
Projects need to be built on PTC safe harbor equipment within a given time frame.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Sean McGlock from USVC London. Thank you.
Hi, good morning. A couple of questions from me. Just on services, I understand that you're expecting a pickup on the services side in the second half, but if I look at the order intake through 2018, it's quite a step down. Could you talk a little bit more about, was there an exceptional element in 18, or is this the new kind of run rate that we should expect in services, and what is driving that? Secondly, on the guide, on the margin guidance range, you published a document, I think in error, earlier this morning that suggested a 7 to 8% margin range. You're clearly confirming 7 to 8.5%. Given the slow start to the year, how can you reassurance on your confidence of reaching the upper end of that margin range in 19? Thank you.
Let me first make the comment on the service growth and order entry, and I will hand over for reinsurance the guidance to David. You need to know that the quarter-over-quarter comparison last year on service, we had a significant order entry out of offshore. The project Hornsea was booked at that time. At the same time, if you look at the order backlog, the order backlog in service is stable, despite its service has grown in terms of revenue significantly about 10%. So we see our service keeping a stable backlog and growing in a good way. That gives us confidence going forward. And looking at order entry, I see significant opportunities in second half a year for order entry. So those arguments, strong performance last quarter with the project Hornsea, stable backlog, growth in service in terms of revenue, I'm confident we will continue the growth story in service as we have done in the past. I'm David on the guidance.
Thank you, Markus. As we have pointed out, the guidance is fully committed and fully confirmed. We are not changing any single number. What has been happening this morning is just a human mistake when we uploaded one of the documentation to the CNMV. That's all.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Michael Ray from Redford in London. Please go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, morning. Thanks for taking my two questions. Just firstly, on the inbound ASP in onshore, is that a clean number at 0.76? I think last quarter you said the 0.75 was affected by construction scope and some other factors. So I'm just wondering what's the underlying number there. And then second, could you just give us an idea of the targeted penetration of the new 10 megawatt turbine? I think it's being marketed for installation from 2022. But where do you think it will be in terms of a proportion of new offshore orders by this time next year? Thanks.
So let me first comment on the underlying ASP. You're right. ASP is always influenced, as explained, by FX, by scope differences, especially also by region. So it needs to be looked. Key is to see the overall trend, which I would describe what we have shown to you as stable. If you then take out those effects like scope differences, special projects, we see still and confirm what we've said last quarter. We confirm also the underlying trend in ASP is a stable trend going forward. With regard to the offshore turbine, we've just launched our turbine. We of course had a customer engagement forum where we are talking very closely, intensively to our customers. The turbine attracts a significant interest out of the market, and I'm quite confident this piece of technology, based on the turbine design as such, but also based on our unique installation experience and reliability, gives, together with the bankability, a very attractive package to our customers. So I see this as a good next step to assure our market leadership in offshore.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Alok Katra. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Alok Katra from SocGen. Thanks for taking my questions. Just sort of wanted to come back on the margin sort of guidance. I mean, clearly Q1 has been perhaps a bit softer than maybe what we in this on the street had expected. But you're still sort of reiterating your 7 to 8.5% sort of margin guidance. I just want, if you think about where we should get the biggest sort of driver, is it just the pricing bar that becomes smaller? Is that really what should take you to your guidance range? Or is there something else which is going to be equally or even more important for you? And then just how confident are you to getting towards the midpoint of the guidance range that you've given, so around 7.7 or 7.8, which is where consensus is at the moment? Thanks.
Let me first answer on the characteristics of this fiscal year being back-end loaded, that has been explained. What actually does drive it, especially in comparison with quarter one? Quarter one for us is not a surprise. It is how we were planning the year. You will see especially stronger revenue in the second half year, already in the second quarter, but also in the second, especially in the second half year. Additional volumes will also push profitability. You will see some of the low-margin projects going through the pipeline earlier. They will not go through the pipeline at the end of the year anymore. There's a second element of pushing profitability. So it's volume. It is quality of the backlog that has been executed, which is true for onshore as well as for offshore. We have a significant installation campaign ahead of us in this summer. That all pushes us, and at the same time, we are pushing our saving measures through the LEAD 2020 program. So doing a thorough analysis, which we have done through those elements, we are quite confident that these elements will push the profitability, volume and profitability forward. So we are quite comfortable with the guidance. With regard to midpoint, as I also said before, I'm comfortable with the midpoint of the guidance. There's still some upsides and downsides as we just completed a first quarter. Keeping the guidance as announced before is what we decided. And there is some upsides, and it's also, as I said, some downsides. We will obtain more clarity on those topics while executing quarter two.
Our next question comes from the line of Chi Chung from Citi London. Please go ahead.
Hi, G at Citi. Thanks for taking my questions. I have a couple. So first one is on India. So just wondering if you have an update on your take on the Indian market, and especially any updates regarding the grid infrastructure status we saw that the potential problems last quarter. And my second question is on the potential impact from U.S. steel tariffs. So just wondering if you buy any steel in the U.S. or all components manufactured overseas and assembled in the U.S. Thank you.
Thanks, G. Let me elaborate on the Indian topic. And overall, India certainly has gone through a very difficult market situation, as we discussed before. Especially the last quarter, we've seen significant order entry out of India in the presentation. As we have demonstrated, India is 25% of order intake in quarter one. So there is 600 megawatt. It is coming back as it has disappeared. We are coming back and giving that quarter now. We in total have an order backlog, an order entry out of around 2 gigawatt in India over the last recent periods after the slowdown of the market. So looking at the overall market opportunities with India, we have certainly maintained our strong position in India. And I see this, as I said earlier, as a quite attractive market going forward with a clear direction of future volumes. So with that, I continue to have a positive view on in India, and we confirmed that with around 2 gigawatts of order entry over the recent periods.
Our next question is from Fernando Lafuente from Atlanta, Madrid.
Hello. Hello, good morning. This is Fernando Lafuente from Atlanta. Thank you for taking my questions. Just two on the service margin. I see that you booked a margin of 24. You said that it was impacted by some value-added services that you sold this quarter. I was wondering if you could give us more or less an indication of what we should expect for the quarters to come and for year-end. If I recall correctly, you mentioned last quarter something between 21 and 22% margin. I don't know if it is still a valid range. And secondly, I would like to ask on the run rate of cost cutting and how you see these extra synergies that you expect for this year coming through to the P&L along the year. Thank you so much.
Let me first go to the service margin. As said before, going forward, I see service as a business well positioned around the 20%, a little bit above 20% going forward. You've seen now in service significant contribution on value-added services that we have developed and are selling. We're seeing also in service impact out of the gained productivity we are, have achieved over the last years, which has an impact on the order backlog of service to be executed. So these drives the margins right now to levels above what I would consider as a good level going forward. And looking at the next quarters, I would assume that there is still some impact out of these improvements we have done in execution also to be expected in the next two or three quarters within that fiscal year. So overall, I'm quite confident, but long term, I see service, as stated before, in the range 20 plus, as stated. David, would you take the other comment?
Thank you, Fernando. Regarding transformation program, as we announced in the Capital Markets Day last year, we have a 2 billion euros program just focused on recurring measures that will have an impact in the P&L. The first year we complete the more than 700 million euros of impacting in the P&L, positive impacts in the P&L. So we were absolutely on track. In this Q1, we are also seeing that we are fully on track and that this transformation program will help us to achieve the guidance that we have confirmed today. In that sense, last year we were impacted by lower pricing that were partially compensated by this transformation program. What we are seeing is that thanks to the stabilization in pricing, the benefits from the transformation program will allow us to go above the 7%. Thank you. And regarding the question, the previous question regarding the U.S. steel, we confirm that we are just buying towers in the U.S. market.
Our next question comes from the line of Alok Katra. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, thanks. Hi, thanks for taking my follow-up. Just on the Taiwanese sort of market, could you just provide us some update on the developments over there? And so how confident are you on the projects that you've signed up for? I think particularly Ørsted is something that you know, the market's probably looking at. But also, I think you have a couple of other customers, WPD and Swancor, where you've where perhaps they are in a better position on the PPA. So just wanted to get a sense of, you know, how you see Taiwanese market and how confident you are on the pipeline and the let's say preferred supplier agreements that you have there. Thank you.
Thank you for the question. So there are ongoing discussions, as you have noticed, with the authorities, and we are in very close contact with our customers in Taiwan. Just to reiterate, we are preferred or executing three projects. Two of them have PPAs. One is the one being discussed. And there's, I think, a solid discussion between our customer and the authorities in Taiwan, which is going forward, which I cannot comment on. However, we are supporting in the best effort we can to bring that to a conclusion, as I am quite confident in the Taiwanese offshore market. The government is fully committed to develop the offshore market with 5.5 gigawatt going up to 2025. As part of the clean energy transition program the government has committed to. So I see the current situation as a short-term volatility, ongoing discussions in that market, but I have not taken any note of that there's a principal discussion in the market that the Taiwanese government would not continue to pursue their overall plans. So I'm confident that this topic will be brought to clarification within short time.
Our next question comes from the line of Alex Garcia. Please go ahead, Alex.
Good morning. The company, as I see, expects 380 million of amortization PPA and restructuring costs for this full year. And I would like to ask if the company could provide any guideline for 2020 to compare if these impacts will be lower. And also, second question, I would like to ask if just about what you have mentioned of buying iron in USA, I would like to know if this has any kind of impact due to trade war between USA and China. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. Regarding your first question regarding PPA, we are disclosing on a quarterly basis and on a yearly basis what is the PPA that we are assuming. As you can see, the amortization of the PPA in Q1 has been 66 million euros, and this is in line with the more or less 250 million euros that we expect for the full fiscal year. This is absolutely aligned with the opening balance sheet that we did when we merged. And I pass to Markus to answer the second question.
Second question was about our buying pattern in the U.S. As stated in earlier quarters, we as the industry as such are impacted by the tariff discussion. Of course, we have taken account for that in our guidance going forward. We still need to see how the recent discussions is going to be concluded. Depending on it, there is an upside or a downside opportunity out of it. We have taken current knowledge into account working with that, and we have stated the impact on earlier calls with 2-4% overall.
Okay, thank you very much. I think this was the last question. I don't know, Markus, if you want to conclude the call.
So, of course, happy to do so. Thanks for participating. Thanks for participating in the quarter one earnings release call for Siemens Gamesa. Highly appreciate your time and your questions, and looking forward for a continued discussion with you. Thanks a lot.